When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I think the field is on fire. I think there's enormous enthusiasm amongst scientists, especially the youngest ones.
That is Michel Sadelain talking about a paper from Maxime Mamonkin and colleagues. And this is Forum. Hello, welcome. You have found episode 8 of Forum, Nature Biotechnology's podcast, where we take a paper recently published in our pages or elsewhere and discuss it with leading researchers in the field. My name is Brady Huggett. Today, I am again with Irene Harsham, senior editor at Nature Biotechnology. And yeah, I think the best thing to do, let's just transition over to Irene and I setting up this paper, and I will talk to you at the end. Okay, so I have read this paper, and I think the first thing that we need to talk about is just tell us, what is a CAR T-cell?
Yeah, so a CAR T-cell is a T-cell which is part of the immune system that has been engineered to express a chimeric receptor. And what these receptors do is they override the natural specificity of T-cells for a variety of antigens to direct those T cells to all target the same antigen. And what that means is, if you have a tumor that you want to kill with a T cell, you can look at all the proteins that are on the cell surface of that tumor and create a chimeric antigen receptor that targets one of those. And when the CAR T cell, which is genetically engineered to express that chimeric molecule, sees that antigen, that protein, it will activate the T-cell, and the T-cell will kill the tumor.
But I think, from what I know anyways, that these therapies are not scalable, and they are expensive.
That's right? Right.
So there's a need for something that is not so patient-specific.
That's right. Yeah. So this paper gets at that, because, as you said, they're a very expensive therapy, and it doesn't scale well. So the way, you know, when you have to make that product per patient, You have to wait until the patient comes in. You have to take the blood, engineer the cells, grow them up. That is a long process and very resource intensive. And when, you know, right now, CAR T cells are only used in a few thousand patients a year. But if you were able to make a CAR T cell that targeted tumors that are much more common across the population, then you'd need something that scales better, right? Ideally, you'd have some cells frozen down, and the patient comes in and you say, okay, this tube is for you. We're going to inject these cells into you. But the reason why we can't do that right now is because when the CAR T cells and the recipient cells are not matched, then two things happen. First is the recipient's immune system will kill the CAR T cells before the CAR T cells are able to do anything. And then the other thing that will happen is that the CAR T cells will recognize the recipient's cells as foreign and will cause a lot of tissue damage in a disease process called graft versus host disease. That's very serious and can kill people. So you have to get around these two problems, rejection and graft versus host disease, before you can make a CAR T cell that's off the shelf.
Okay, so that's what this paper is
about.
That's
right.
And who did you talk to?
I talked to Michelle Sadelain, who's been in the CAR T cell field for a very long time and is a top expert.
Where's he based?
At Memorial Sloan Kettering in New York.
Okay. And this paper is titled Engineered Off-the-Shelf Therapeutic T-Cells Resist Host Immune Rejection. And the corresponding author is Maxime Mamonkin. He's from the Baylor College of Medicine. Anything else we need to know?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. Off you go.
How are things going at MSK? Is your lab in full swing now?
Not full swing, but since July, we are at, 70% swing. And we're kind of stable, maybe at that level.
That's good to hear. I'm glad. 70% sounds pretty good for, given everything we're dealing with. So as you know, a main topic of our conversation today is going to be off-the-shelf CAR T cells and universal CAR T cells. Do you think that the idea was always that this would be an initial phase to personalize the CAR T cells, and that eventually we would figure out how to make CAR T cells that don't kill the recipient cells and that are not killed by the recipient?
Well, I can't speak for others, but I've been thinking about engineering cells since the late 80s. That's when I started wanting to do this and later started working on it. And I can tell you, no, I had not thought about that. The big question, the overarching question was, could this work? Could you actually instruct a T cell to go after any antigen that you tell it to go after? Could a synthetic receptor known today as a CAR perform such an instruction? Would there be methods that would allow for the efficient genetic modification of those T cells? Would the genetic modification of those T cells be safe and not cause some form of genotoxicity or genetically induced alteration of the T cells because of the genetic remodeling of the T cell? Those were the initial questions, right?
So now that we know that the answer to some of the questions that you were just raising, we know that we can make T cells that go after whatever target we engineer them to target. Is making off-the-shelf universal CAR T cells that you could just have in the freezer and pull out and give to any patient, is that a priority? Given that there are other, obviously, challenges in the CAR T cell field still to be solved?
That's a great question. I think it's certainly a priority if you think of how to make this available on a larger scale, then definitely it becomes a priority. At the same time, though, you gave the answer already. There certainly are many more aspects of CAR therapy or of engineered T cells that are yet to be developed. And presumably that can be very well done in the autologous setting. And so if we were in that research, innovation, and discovery mode, how do we target a solid tumor? How do we prevent toxicities such as the cytokine release syndrome or the neurotoxicities that occasionally develop in recipients of CAR T cells? How do we, again, extend this to this cancer, that cancer, and other cancers? All that could be done, and I suspect much of it will be done in the autologous setting. However, if we do think about, and if we're optimistic about the success of many of these future approaches, then this question looms. How can we implement this form of therapy on a larger scale and in a more cost-effective way?
So a quick question on the first possibility, which is, implementing manufacturing using machines. My understanding is that there are some that are already in use, like the Prodigy, and that they don't solve all the problems from beginning to end. And let me just say, because we didn't mention specifically, that the CAR T cell manufacturing process is a pretty involved process that takes about 2 to 3 weeks, where T cells are activated, transduced with a virus or modified otherwise with genome editing to express the CAR, expanded, and all kinds of QC that you have to do, obviously in a GMP facility. So there are some machines that have been already introduced, right? And how much of the problem do they solve right now?
Okay. Before addressing those instruments, you said 2-3 weeks. Well, some processes may take 2-3 weeks of, referring to the period during which the cells are in culture and being handled. But many processes are shorter than 2-3 weeks. 10 days, 7 days. And there are a few groups now that are close, they claim anyway, to having processes that would be even shorter than that. So they still require a manipulation of cells. And that has to be done in a controlled environment. And hence, you know, the cost of this, all of this processing. But anyway, just to say that it can be 2-3 weeks, but it could be shorter than that. So a future prospect is to have instruments, you know, closed instruments to establish what's called a closed process, something where, you know, your cells aren't suddenly in a flask that you open, exposed to the atmosphere, even if it's a controlled atmosphere. You want a closed process where everything goes from one chamber to another through a tube and with all kinds of measurements and controls being done throughout the process. It's one machine. It's a pretty large machine. And when the cells from one patient are in that machine, that's all you can do. The machine is doing that. So that is progress. It's closed, but we need more progress than that, hopefully. And I think this, I'm pretty optimistic, actually. There's a number of companies that are forming to support cell therapies. You know, they have seen the promise of cell therapies, and there are people coming out, engineers really coming out of the aeronautical industry or the chip industry, microfluidics and others, starting to think about this. And so that is why I'm pretty optimistic that these processes will evolve considerably in the next few years.
And that will help no matter how we make T cells also, right? How we make them and whether we can find ways to mitigate graft versus host and rejection of the cells. But now switching over to this other possibility, right, that I think there is a substantial number of people working on is trying to engineer cells that are not rejected and that don't reject. What are the main strategies that people have tried to solve that problem?
Right. So this graft versus host response that could be initiated by a CAR T cell where the T cell came from someone else, right? A non-self T cell, right? Initiated by the T cell receptor. And so you have to either remove that T cell receptor or use a cell that has, where you're very sure that the T cell receptor will not be alloreactive, or you have to explore other immune cells that simply naturally do not possess a T cell receptor. The second bucket was to, well, keep the T cell receptor. If you're very sure, very confident that that T cell receptor would not cause graft versus host disease. And that can be the case if you use virus-specific T cells. And over the years, a few large academic centers, my own MSK being one, Baylor being another one in the US, have accumulated collections of these cells that are virus-specific. And then the third one is to use other immune cells that don't have a T cell receptor and that cannot cause graft versus host disease, in which case you don't need to go into knocking out, eliminating the T cell receptor. And those cells are natural killer cells, gamma delta T cells, which are still T cells but have different receptors, or also NK T cells. And those are subsets of immune cells that have lytic properties, so they could, in principle, kill tumor cells, but should not cause graft versus host disease.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So this paper we published recently from Max Mamonkin at Baylor, it reports a strategy to do something like that, right? So this paper describes a second chimeric receptor that you would put in a CAR T cell that recognizes activated T cells and kills them. So if you have a CAR T cell and that CAR T cell is being attacked by an activated T cell from the host, the CAR T cell would kill that cell first and prevent being killed. And the way, just briefly, that the receptor recognizes that is through recognition of 4-1BB, which is transiently expressed when T cells are activated. What do you think of a strategy like that?
Well, first of all, I think it's a very clever strategy. And I congratulate Maxime Mamonkin for having not just having the idea, but then making very big efforts to demonstrate the validity of this approach in the mouse models that he reported on. So I think it is a very attractive idea in the following way. So what you need, as you just said, is so you have a CAR T cell. Let's say there's one CAR that's there for the purpose of targeting the cancer. And then there's a second device, a second CAR that is introduced in these T cells. And it is going to engage cells in the body of the recipient. Now, what we're dealing with here are really T cell wars, right? This is T cells fighting T cells, all right? You could call it this now, the T cell wars. And so the question is, or one question is, okay, well, who's going to win here? Will the CAR T cell kill the host cell before it is rejected? Or can the recipient cell win first and kill off the CAR T cell before it was killed? So, you know, this is a study with a certain model, with certain doses, certain ratios, certain kinetics of these responses. And in that setting, the group reported data where they could show that the CAR T cell won, or at least was not completely eliminated, because there were clearly enough of the CAR T cells left, if some were killed, which was probably the case, but there were still enough to fight the tumor. But it is a T cell war, and it is in part a numbers game. I think we'll need more models and more settings to see if this is more broadly and more generally the case.
So going back to something that you just mentioned, when I first read the paper, the first thing I thought is, why aren't these CAR T cells killing each other when they activate 4-1BB?
Yeah, that is correct. And that's another aspect I think still needs to be further explored in this chimeric molecule that Mamonkin created. And so you would think that these cells would undergo suicide. They would kill themselves. And in addition, and that's probably easier to understand, that one CAR T cell expressing this molecule would kill a neighboring cell, even another CAR T cell, not just the alloreactive cell from the recipient, but by the way, any cell that in that recipient will happen to be active at that time. By the way, if you have a viral infection, you may wipe out all your cells that are trying to protect you from the virus at that moment. So while it's not complete blind immunosuppression, it will eliminate any other cell that expresses 4-1BB. So there's those bad alloreactive cells that we want to get rid of. But then if you happen to be fighting a viral infection, those may pay the price. And then there's also some normal cells that express 4-1BB, you know, some myeloid cells, and they too could be the innocent bystanders eliminating this. And fourthly, there are the CAR T cells themselves, and that's called fratricide killing, right? So one of the, again, perhaps surprising and definitely surprising and remarkable findings in this study is that the degree of either fratricide killing or, again, cell autonomous killing, you can call that suicide, wasn't such that these cells fizzled out on you right away and everything disappeared before they even eliminated the cancer. Again, it's a question of kinetics and degree to which this happens. And again, in this model, at these time points, with these doses, these cells could prevail. But there are all these other questions around it.
Right. So talking about translating something like this to the clinic. So we have seen now genome editing of CAR T cells going to patients. You have shown, and others now have also used, putting the CAR T cell directly into the TRAC locus, the TCR locus, using CRISPR-Cas9 editing and other genome editing strategies have been used. Talking about making off-the-shelf CAR T cells, others have knocked out MHC, MHC class 1, sometimes also class 2, to try to prevent the cells from being rejected. How feasible is it in your mind that we're going to see broad use of genome editing with strategies like Maximum Onkin's strategy or any of the ones I mentioned and all the others that are being developed?
Well, broadly, first, before we get to broadly, we need smaller, groundbreaking first studies. I personally hope that will happen because everything we do with T-cell engineering shows us that the more precise the engineering, the better a handle you have on controlling the functions and the fate of those T cells. There's the CAR, but you may want to put a second, a third, or a fourth molecule. And again, depending on the therapeutic and toxicity profile of those additional molecules, you know, may they be cytokines or chemokines or scFvs or BiTEs or antibodies or other things that you want to release in the tumor microenvironment. Again, I'm pretty sure that we will keep finding that precision engineering affords for the design of a superior and safer T cell. Now, having said all of that, there are extremely few studies at this time that have made use of gene-edited CAR T cells. This is just starting. There was a paper earlier this year from the University of Pennsylvania, where a triple knockout was attempted. And, you know, and that showed that it's on the one hand feasible, but, you know, there were translocations and other things happening in those cells. And I think that tells us all that, you know, this technology needs to be properly developed. And also that did not entail a knock-in, you know, where you introduce, for example, what we were just discussing, a car under the control of a promoter, which you want in a very specific location. You know, that will, but that, all of that is coming to the clinic now. I should add too that currently the gene editing procedures are very expensive, and hopefully that too will not emerge as one more barrier. Cell therapies are already expensive, and the materials needed for gene editing are, if you introduce genes, not if you just knock out, but if you knock in, are expensive. Mm-hmm. But again, to me, that I am firmly convinced that those costs will come down when, you know, there's a bigger demand.
Michelle, I have one more question for you in the couple of minutes left I have of your time. When you think about the broadly the CAR T cell field, and where it's at right now, where it's come from, and where it's going to be in the next 2-5 years, what are you most excited about in terms of developments?
Well, actually, I'm not sure there's just one thing. I think the field is on fire. I think there's enormous enthusiasm amongst scientists, especially the youngest ones, amongst clinicians, patient advocates who see what CAR therapy did for lymphoma and leukemia and who keep coming to cancer centers like my own, asking their doctor, is there a CAR therapy for my cancer? So that enthusiasm, again, and it doesn't stop there. It's not just the scientists, the clinicians, the patients. There's also now the pharmaceutical industry, at least some of them, are now putting their expertise behind this. So I think that this will break down some walls as well. And even if you go to Wall Street, there's a lot of interest in investing in innovative approaches to advanced cell therapies. So I think that first and foremost, there's all this energy, this brain power, and this these finances behind it that are coming to advance CAR therapy. And so I very much hope that, you know, in 5 years, we'll have a few other big stories to tell, akin to the CD19 mm-hmm. CAR story that just happened, I guess. Solid tumors is the lion's share of all cancers by the numbers. And, you know, these technologies were really initially developed with a focus on hematological malignancies. At least we think that as is, they may not be well suited for solid tumors. But what I mean by that is that you have to add some additional components and layers. And in parallel, there's this whole manufacturing aspect that we were just discussing. Lastly, I want to say, I'll say one more hope that I have, is I think that CAR T cells, the use of CAR T cells will not be limited to cancer. There are other settings where engineered immune cells could be, I think, very useful in autoimmune disorders, in intractable infections. And I have one last one to add, that perhaps pluripotent stem cells will be harnessed to become you know, bioreactors for making a whole immune response outside of the body without having to go to a donor to collect a T cell and then, you know, grow it up and modify it. So there's my wish list.
That's a lot of interesting things to keep us hooked on CAR T cells for a while. Michelle, thank you so much for your time. It's been really great talking with you.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Wonderful questions.
All right, episode 8 of Forum is complete. Hat tip to Michel Sadelain for his great insight into this paper. We have taken this paper and moved it in front of our paywall for the next 7 days. There is a link in the show notes to take you there, so if you'd like to read that for non-subscribers, please do. Thanks to the Midwest Quiet for use of their music in this podcast. If you'd like to discuss this podcast, Nature Biotechnology, First Rounders, or anything that we do, you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is @NatureBiotech. You can speak to us there. And finally, some news. Irene has taken a job in industry, and she has left the Nature Biotechnology team. That is a loss for the show, and that's a loss for the journal. She's a great editor and a great colleague. Irene, you will be missed. That is all. I will talk to you on the next one.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.